Reminded that, just like Samuel needed to have hear a good message on it before this morning, so he could underline it and get it settled in his mind. But we each need that, don't we? Need to be reminded, because we tend to cite something else that is, I think, a real problem that we see in our midst, and sometimes we struggle with is taking God's word. And obeying it completely. Is the scripture a book of suggestions for life? Are we to decide which part we will follow and believe the Lord will be pleased with whatever we decide? Obviously, those questions are ones that we recognize. No, that's not the way it is. But the importance of our obedience to the Lord. How important is obedience to the Lord? You know, a great song that we've taught our children. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. We'll let them spell it out. O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way to show that we believe. And truly, I think that is something that we find in the scripture. You want to prove to the Lord you really believe. You want to show him. We want to be obedient to him. I want to go back to a familiar passage in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and look at Saul. Look at Saul's disobedience and the lessons that we can learn from that. And when we come to 1 Samuel 15, it says, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Samuel comes to Saul and he tells him to hearken. Hearken, and it's interesting when I looked up that word in the how it's used in the Hebrew, that it's not just have your ears open and listen, but it's listen with an obedient mind and heart. In fact, 87 times in the Old Testament, it is translated obey, which is very interesting, and so Samuel is coming to Saul, and he says, "Listen to, yield to, obey the word of the Lord." He tells him, he says, "The Lord gave you this position." Samuel said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you to be king over his people Israel. It's like Samuel is saying to Saul, the Lord gave you the position that you're in, Saul. The Lord made you king. Saul didn't become king on his own, but it's something that the Lord called him to, and the Lord gave him that position. And as it says there in that verse, he said, the Lord sent me to anoint thee king over his people, king over the Lord's people. It's like he's saying, now Saul, these people aren't yours. These are the Lord's people that the Lord has put you over. And now he says, because of that, he says, now therefore hearken thou unto the words of the Lord. That is, listen carefully to obey, so as I said, that word has within it the idea of obedience, and so he's saying, listen carefully, and then do what the Lord says. In verse 2, he, as part of this instruction, first of all he says, listen. And then he says, Amalek is remembered. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, and how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. He's saying there, through Samuel, the Lord is saying, I remember what Amalek did. I remember the works of Amalek. And if we were to go back into Exodus and chapter 17, we would see the prophecy back there that was made against Amalek. And that prophecy was given in Exodus, it was given in Numbers, it was given in Deuteronomy. But if you go to Exodus chapter 17, and this is when Amalek is fighting against Israel, and Amalek will not let them through into the land, and he's fighting against them, and there's where Moses is fighting against him, and this is the place, if you remember, where Aaron and Hur held Moses' hands up and as long as Moses' hands were up, Israel prevailed, and as hands came down, Amalek prevailed. So this is something that is written here in Exodus in the books of the law, that Amalek is going to be remembered. In the 14th verse of Exodus chapter 17, it says, the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. So back there in Exodus, the Lord said, I'm going to remove completely Amalek's line because of the wickedness that was there. In Numbers in chapter 24, and there in verse 20, when this is in the midst of the prophecy that the Lord brought through Balaam, who didn't want to prophesy against them. In fact, he wanted to prophesy against Israel, but in the 20th verse, it says, and when he looked on Amalek, he took up this parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever. The Lord caused Balaam, that unfaithful prophet, but he caused him to prophesy against Amalek, that Amalek would perish forever. In Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 17 to 19, it says there instructions from Moses. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when ye were come forth out of Egypt, how that he met thee by the way and smote the hindermost part of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Therefore, it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from thine enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. So there we see the prophecy. The prophecy that was given many, many years before, that the Lord, in his time, was going to completely write Amalek off of the face of the earth. So that is the context for which the Lord said, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel and how he laid wait for thee when he came up from Egypt. So part of the instruction to Saul is, listen and obey. I remember Amalek and I remember what he did. I'm remembering the prophecies that I made. Now verse 3, So there he tells them to utterly destroy them. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant, suckling, ox, and sheep, and camel, and ass. Saul was to carry out the prophesied judgment that God had made back to Moses. All is to be destroyed, all that they have, all of their lives, all of their livestock. Is there anything that's not clear in what the instruction is here? Instruction's pretty clear, isn't it? The instruction is clear. Saul is to be used of God in the judgment of the wickedness and the sin of Amalek, and you know, there's other passages that deal with some of the sins of Amalek. It was a wicked nation. It were those that were completely against God, and they were those that God had determined needed to be eliminated. So that's the instructions that Saul was given. So what are Saul's actions? What are Saul's actions? If we go to verse 4, it says Saul gathered the people together. He numbered them, 200,000 footmen, 10,000 men of Judah. He came to the city of Amalek. He laid wait in the valley, and Saul said to the Kenites, "Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. So there we see Saul, he prepared for the battle. He separates out those that ought not to, or that are not to be destroyed, and there we see the battle, and we see just a statement of the destruction that was there, and so there was a great destruction. But when we come down to verse 8, it says, "And he took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag." And so there we see that the king there was spared to be brought to back with him. And then on in verse 9, it continues. "And he also kept the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and of the lambs. And all that was good would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly." So there we see the actions of Saul, how he went, he carried out that which the Lord had given him, except he kept Agag, and he kept the good of the animals and such. And what is Saul's evaluation of that? When you go down to and just for a moment we'll drop down to verse 13. And here we see what is Saul's evaluation of what he did. "Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, 'Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord.'" Saul was pleased with himself. He was pleased with what he had done. He is pleased with the great victory and how he had carried out what the Lord had said. And so he says, I have performed the commandment. So Saul's evaluation is, I've done, I've obeyed, I've done what needed to be done. Then in the 14th verse, Samuel said, well, what's this bleating of the sheep and the in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? So Samuel says, what's this that I'm hearing? And Saul said in verse 15, well, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. And if we go down to the 20th verse and the 21st verse and doing that just to look at Saul's evaluation, where Saul said to Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil and the sheep and the oxen and the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. He sounds pretty spiritual, doesn't he? It's like he's saying, Samuel, well, of course, he's kind of putting it off. The people did this. You know, I mean, he's putting it off, but at the same time, he says, look, Samuel, look at the great sacrifice we can make unto your God. You know, God wants, he likes the sacrifice, and he wants us to sacrifice, and we've saved out the very best so we can have a good worship service. That's Saul's evaluation of what took place. But as we look, we want to see what is God's evaluation? What is the Lord's evaluation? What is God's view? What is God's view? We go back up to the 11th verse, and the Lord says, it repents me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he's turned back from following me, and he's not performed my commandments. He's turned back from following me. I'm turning from him from having be king. He turned back. He isn't following me. Isn't that what, you know, we can see it here, I think, with Saul. But how about with us when we look and say, well, Lord, I do this and I do this and I, you know, I tithe and I give and what else do you want, Lord? Isn't that the way we are sometimes? What does the Lord want? He wants obedience. He wants us to follow him fully. We talked about faith this morning, a faith that believes God and believes that God's way is best for us. So even if we don't understand that, if it seems like it's going to be to our detriment, we follow the Lord instead of following our own way. Saul has made it in his own mind, I follow the Lord's commandment. I did what he said. The Lord said, he turned from following me. He turned from following me. He's not performed my commandment. There in the end of verse 11. He didn't do what I said. He did what he thought was best. Look at that 16th verse. Samuel said to Saul, "Stay, and I'll tell you what the Lord hath said to me this night." And Saul said to him, "Say on." Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel." He's telling Saul, "You're not humble anymore." Do you remember when they wanted to anoint Saul to be king? The scripture said that he was hiding among the stuff. he was scared to death to have to be king over Israel. He fled and he was hiding. The Lord takes the weak things and he uses them. But when someone exalts themselves, that's when we get in trouble, isn't it? When we put our mind above the mind of God. And that's what the Lord is saying there to him. He said, when you were little in your sight, that's when I made you head over Israel. But now he's not humble anymore. Verse 18, "And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord?" They saw the good things. He said, "You flew upon the spoil." They saved the good things. He says, "You've done evil. You've done evil in my sight." You know, when we see God's view there, we recognize that. That God wants our heart's obedience. It isn't so much the things that we have. That's not what's important to him. The most important thing is the heart. Look at, and this is where we come down to verses that, it made a great impression upon me in my own life. Impression that I sought to give to our children, these verses 22 and verse 23. God wants your heart's obedience. Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." It's interesting, the word hearken there is just a word, just means, listen, but it's in the context here, obey is better to sacrifice, listening to the Lord than the fat of rams. The Lord says, "I want your obedience long before your sacrifice." He goes on in this and he says, for rebellion, he's classifying Saul as rebellious. Rebellion, his disobedience was rebellion. He said, it is as a sin of witchcraft. You raise yourself up. You raise up your mind above the mind of God. And that's just like witchcraft. Isn't that what caused Satan to fall? Raising himself up to be above the mind of God. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. He says here it's sin, and it's like idol worship. Because you've rejected the word of the Lord, he's also rejected you from being king. To obey is better than sacrifice. The Lord loves the sacrifice of an obedient people. When you give of your time and your efforts and your money to the Lord, when you've got an obedient heart, it's a sweet savor unto the Lord. But when we think that our doing things and our gifts are what's going to do it, and we're not obeying the Lord, he said that's rebellion. That's like the sin of witchcraft. It's stubbornness. That's as the sin of iniquity and idolatry. What does God desire of us? Obedience. Follow me. It's a simple submission to the will of God. God wants us to be to obey him. This passage reveals the inner heart of King Saul. Though he began humble, he exalted himself and thought it was his right to decide what part of God's word he did not have to follow. And he made it sound spiritual, didn't he? He made it sound spiritual. He made it sound like, look at all the sacrifice we can do. Look at the worship we can have with the sacrifice of these. He thought it was his right to decide what part of God's word he didn't have to follow. We can be guilty of that. We can be guilty of that. He thought he knew best how to deal with the wickedness of the Amalekites. He thought, because I have destroyed the Amalekites and just saved Amalek, he said, just saved Agag. He thought that's what was necessary. God in his omniscience, he knew that even the animals needed to be destroyed. He knew that there was a wickedness that prevailed, that caused that even the livestock had to go. Saul didn't understand that. He thought, boy, here's some that are, boy, they're really nice looking. They'd make good sacrifices. He put his mind above the mind of God. He in actuality was setting aside God's prophecies and God's promises to Israel by disobeying God's word. He, as an ambassador of God, had been given a job that God had said a long time before, this whole nation needs to be destroyed. And he was going to see that it was just partial. And I would just say, who are we but the ambassadors of Christ? We represent God's word. We don't have the liberty to choose our way over his. Obedience is the only way if we're to be the true ambassadors for Christ. To be obedient to him. We have many movements today Many movements today where there are those that want to compromise God's word. They don't want to separate where God says that they ought to separate. The whole new evangelical movement was one where God has told us to separate. The whole new evangelical movement was a movement that says, no, we're going to infiltrate. We're going to infiltrate into these denominations, and we're going to be a gospel witness there, and we're going to win them over. It sounds good, but it's against what God has given to in our obedience to Him. I just say, as ambassadors of Christ, whatever God gives us to do, let's determine we're going to do it. We're going to do it wholly. We're going to do it completely. And we're going to ask the Lord, Lord, if I've not been complete, Lord, help me to see it so that I will be complete. May we be a people that are faithful and obedient to our Lord. May the Lord use this example of Saul and his disobedience to help instruct us in our daily lives to not just say, well, I know what the Bible says, but I think if we do this, well, let's not do that. Let's be obedient unto our Lord. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for revealing to us this instance in the life of Saul. Lord, you've given us this as example to us, Lord, that we might see the way that you would have us to live, and to understand that to obey is better than sacrifice. Lord, to understand that we just need to follow you completely and not be stubborn in our own selves. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to take our hymnals and sing our last hymn.